I'm so glad that you have joined us for this edition of the School of Faith. This is Apostle Paul Young. My goal is to teach believers how to walk by faith, live by faith, fight the good fight of faith, and overcome by faith. This is possible for you, but you have to learn what faith is, how it works, and most important, how you are to apply it in your everyday life. Now let's go into our School of Faith session for today. We're back once again in the School of Faith after our break. And going to pick up right where we left off. If you're listening on the podcast and you're starting on this number, this one, I would encourage you back up one number and catch what we did in the last session, because School of Faith is always two 45-minute sessions on Friday night, and they're connected together. All right, so our last session, we established that we are supposed to grow in faith, and it is possible for your faith to grow. And we also established that God has given to every born-again believer, every Christian, he has given the measure of faith. So we all started out with the same thing. And then we read where Jesus said to somebody, "O ye of little faith." All right? So, my conclusion is, the measure of faith that you got when you started would equate to little. Everybody starts out with little. It's kind of like muscles. Everybody starts out with a little muscle. You know, when you're first born, your muscles aren't very big at all. You got them. But they're not big. But they can grow. You can grow your muscles. Now, physically, there is a limit to how far you can grow your muscles. You know, if you keep going to the gym every day and you know, curling dumbbells or something, it doesn't mean that, you know, if I can increase how many inches around my bicep here, if I can increase it an inch, you know, in a month, I don't know how long it would take to do that, but let's just say a month. Doesn't mean if I work out the same for 12 months that I'm going to get 12 inches. And if I work out for 2 years, I'm going to get 24 inches. Can you imagine how big my bicep would be? I could knock myself out trying to scratch my head. Oh. Quack. No, there's a limitation in the physical realm. But now here's the exciting thing to me. In the realm of the spirit, and that's what faith is. Faith is in the realm of the spirit. We've established this. Faith is in your spirit because it is a spiritual substance. The faith of God in you is spiritual. It's not natural. That's why you can't apply natural reasoning or principles to faith. Somebody says, "Well, I don't feel anything." What do feelings have to do with it? Feelings are in the natural. Faith is in the realm of the spirit. Okay. So, there's little faith, and then there's great faith, Jesus said. Great faith. We looked at Matthew 15, 28, that's where we left off, and where he said, "Woman, great is thy faith." So, great, the word great here means the upper range of a scale of extent, with the possible implication of importance in relevant context, great, greatly, greatness, to a great degree, intense, terrible. This is all a definition of the word great. Something that is on the upper end of a scale. All right? If it is little, it can become big. your faith can become big. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to verse number 10. Matthew chapter 8, verse 10. This was when the centurion came to Jesus, and said to him in verse number 6, said, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said to him, verse 7, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having his soldiers under me. See, this man had watched Jesus, and he understood authority. He's in the military. And he says, I have soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. Why? Because he's issuing orders. And he's watched Jesus, and he understands Jesus is issuing spiritual orders. He says, I understand what this man's doing. He might not be in my army, but I understand he's got authority. And so he says, you don't have to come. Just speak the word. And verse 10, and when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed him, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Wow. So great faith. Now, this word great is a different word than we read in Matthew 15, 28. This word great, the definition is pertaining to a quantity of objects or events considerably beyond normal expectations. So great in rank, skill, or character. So the idea that I want you to get is that faith, the faith that you have, the faith that I have, it can be little, it can be small, it can be great. Anyone that has great faith has developed it and understands the principles. People who have little faith, they're just operating on what they had to start with, and they've done nothing to expand, nothing to grow. Now that's really important that we understand that. It's kind of like this. When you see someone that's in a wheelchair, they've been in a wheelchair for a long time, and maybe they're paraplegic, maybe they injured their neck, their back, something. And you notice something, that their legs are very small. I mean, their legs are small. And it looks like the only thing that's there is bone. Skin and bone. But the truth is, there is a muscle there. The muscles are there. The muscles didn't leave. What the muscles did is they atrophied. That's the medical term. It means to get smaller. Yes. And they went down until they got to their smallest size. Whoa. The muscle will never go away. Oof. There will always be, in a paraplegic, there will always be the leg muscles there. But if you don't use muscles, they go down to their smallest common denominator. All right. They're there. Now, I've seen where someone that was in a wheelchair got healed. You know, yes. They couldn't feel anything from, you know, their neck down or the middle of their back down. I forget which it was. And so they couldn't walk. And so their legs were very small. And they got healed, and they got feeling back in their legs. Now, when they went to stand up and walk, they could barely stand. Yeah. And somebody said, well, if they're healed, how come they can't stand? Shut up. You got to understand, the muscles are there, but they have to use them now, and they have to build them back up. Yes. You build muscles or maintain muscles by using them. If you don't use muscles in your body, they're going to go small. I think probably most of you have experienced that.
Yep.
Where maybe you got the flu or something in the past and you were flat on your back for a week or 5 days or whatever it was. And then you started feeling better and you started recovering from it. And then you got out of bed and then you're all like, I'm weak. I mean, just a little bit of something and just wears you out.
Yes.
What's the problem? Well, because you weren't using your muscles, your muscles started to decrease. And if you keep not using your muscles will keep decreasing until they get down to the smallest size that is possible. They will never go totally away. There will always be a muscle there. Always. Okay? You need to understand that your faith works the same way.
Okay.
And this is the problem that many Christians have, is they have the measure of faith, but they have done nothing to increase it.
Yes.
You got it,
right.
But you need to start using it. Now, in the illustration of physical muscles, if you start to use your muscle that you haven't used, you're only going to be able to lift so much. You're not just going to run out there and bench press 350 pounds. And if you try to do that, you're going to strain something. Now, I have, at times in my life, because we heat our house with wood. We have a wood stove, heats our whole house. We like wood heat. And I like doing the wood. You know, some people go, oh, that's a hassle. Well, maybe it is, but I like doing it. Helps keep me in shape.
Yeah.
But something I have noticed is each year when I start splitting wood and getting the wood room filled up again, I have to pace myself at first because I'm a little bit out of shape there. And so if I've been splitting wood for a couple weeks, you know, and I've been working on this and getting my body back in shape, man, I can huck big chunks of wood up onto that splitter. But if it's the first day I'm splitting wood, I have to pace myself. And that big honking thing there, I better not try to lift that.
No.
Not the first day. Why? Because I'm not in shape.
That's right.
The muscles that I need to use have to be built up.
Yes,
and yet this is what happens with Christians. They don't use their faith. A lot of times they don't know they're supposed to. And they don't use it. So it atrophies down to that measure, that smallest measure. And then a crisis comes. And then it's, oh, I got to stand in faith. And they can't do it. Why can't they do it? The same reason I can't pick up that big hunk of wood the first day. Because I'm out of shape.
Yeah.
And many Christians fail in their attempt to walk by faith. But the failure is not the faith of God.
Right.
The failure has to do with people not building their faith. They're not growing their faith. They're not strengthening. They're not increasing. They coast along. And some people coast along and they try to ride on everybody else's faith.
Yeah.
They want everybody else to pray for them.
Yes.
They want everybody else to do things spiritually for them. But let me share something with you. The day is coming where others are not going to be able to do stuff for you.
That is true.
Where you're going to have to stand on your own two feet spiritually. And if you have not developed your faith and you have not developed your skill in using your faith, you are going to have a disaster. Things are not going to turn out good for you. And I've seen it so many times in my years of ministry, then people blame God. God didn't come through. Why didn't God? They get mad at God. I have run across many people. They're mad at God. God didn't come through. God didn't do this. God didn't do that. I lost my baby. It's God's fault. Wait. Hold on. Time out. Where was your faith?
Yeah.
Did you use your faith? Do you know how to use your faith? Don't be blaming God. Because when you're blaming God, you're saying God lied.
Ooh.
No, God did not lie. God will do exactly what he said he would do. But God is going to be moved by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Impossible means ain't no way. And now, so we've established that faith can grow. We are supposed to grow in faith. All right? We've learned that we start out with the measure of faith. And we are going to learn how to measure our faith.
Wow. Woo.
Now, I don't think we're going to get to it tonight because I'm looking at the time ticking away. But we, in the weeks ahead, we are going to get to that. We are going to do it. See, I've learned from experience and from the Word.
Yes.
And from being taught by the Holy Ghost that it is not taking medicine or not having surgery that pleases God. Now, some people get confused on this. They think, oh, if I take medicine, that's not pleasing God. If I have the surgery, that's not pleasing God. Wait. What is it that does please God? It is faith.
Okay.
It is not doing something. It is doing something.
Amen.
But yet, because people haven't been taught well, and they don't understand the principles, then they get this idea in the area of faith that if I take medicine, that is not pleasing God. No. What is it that pleases God? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So, you flip that around. With faith, it is possible to please God.
Yes.
Faith pleases God. And sometimes people think, well, not taking medicine is faith. No. That's not faith.
Wow, that's good.
I'm trying to help you here. See, some people think, well, if I take the medicine, I'm not walking in faith. That is a carnal, immature understanding of faith. No, you need to identify where your faith is. What is the measure of your faith now? You started out with the measure of faith.
Yes.
But now, I'm hoping that you have advanced, that you have grown, that you have increased, that you have come up some grade levels.
Yes.
And that you are, I'm hoping that you are beyond where you started at.
Amen.
Now, there are a lot of people that, because they've done nothing in this area of faith, and a lot of it is because they haven't been taught on faith. That's why we're having the school of faith.
Yes.
That's what this is for. Because in a lot of churches, there's no teaching on faith. They don't even know what it is.
True.
How can you teach on something you don't know?
True.
That's a little difficult.
Yeah.
All right. Nope. You need to identify where your faith is. What is the measure of your faith? Now, medicine or surgery can help. But you need, in the middle of this, you need to exercise the faith you have.
Yes.
The point is this. It's not, faith is not taking medicine or not getting a surgery. That's not faith.
Woo.
The point I'm trying to make here is, regardless of where your faith is, you need to be exercising and using the faith that you have at your level.
Wow.
Now, too many run to the medicine, they run to the surgery, and they exercise absolutely no faith. That's wrong.
Wow, that's good.
If you are not exercising the faith you have, you're missing the boat. I did not say you can't take medicine. I did not say you can't have the surgery. That's not what I said. I said you need to find out where your measure of faith is. Maybe your measure of faith, you're just to the point where you believe God is going to guide the hands of the doctor and the surgeon and take you through there. Maybe you're at the point that you believe that God is working in your body and God will help, and the medicine, the prescription or whatever is going to help too. Well, if that's where your faith is, don't do something because somebody else did it.
Oh, amen.
Well, so-and-so said, I'm not getting no surgery, and they got healed. Well, they are different than you.
Yes.
You are not at their level of faith. Everybody's at different levels.
Yeah.
All right. Medicine can work on symptoms while you work your faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
Medicine isn't healing you. It's just reducing the symptoms. Now, sometimes it can be easier to work on your faith and speak the word and thank God for healing you when the pain is less.
That is true.
Ooh, that's amen? Because pain can be a real distraction. Oh, yeah. Trust me, I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. So, the problem is if your trust is in the medicine and not in God. The problem is if you're not working your faith at all, and you're putting all your eggs in the basket of medicine. Well, you may have gotten away with that a time or two, but sooner or later you're going to run into a situation where medicine is not going to be enough, where medicine is not going to fix it. And what are you going to do then? See, this is where people start to, run around like a chicken with their head cut off, and they call every prayer line under the sun. They call every ministry, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. And the problem is they have not developed their own faith. They have been trusting medicine exclusively. And now all of a sudden, I got to develop my faith. You might not have enough time to develop your faith. Because, listen, does it take time to develop muscles?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can't just go in the gym today and walk out tomorrow looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
No. It takes time to build your natural muscles. And I'll tell you this, it takes time to build your faith muscle. It takes time to develop your skill in walking by faith. And you may not, see, if you just trust in medicine and doctors and everything else, and you never do anything with your faith, you may end up in a situation where you don't have enough time to develop your faith.
Yeah.
And those people go home early. Sad to say. It is sad.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have to be that way. And that's why I'm challenging you to develop your faith. Stop coasting. Stop being spiritually lazy.
Yeah.
Now, we got the Olympics going on right at the moment. I haven't seen much of them. But I'll tell you one thing. My wife and I watched some volleyball last night. And it was pretty interesting to watch. I like to play volleyball. Volleyball. I'm not that good at it. You know why I'm not that good? I never practice. I have never had a coach. I have never been on a real volleyball team. If I was, and I applied myself, I could get better. And eventually, maybe I could even, if I applied myself, I could even get good at it. But watching those teams, now, the thing I know is it was women's volleyball. Those gals had spent a lot of time developing their skill. And it was amazing to watch those volleys and those hits and those slams and woo. And I'm going, don't put me on that court.
No way.
I'd lose big time. Everybody that is phenomenal in what they do in the Olympics, everybody knows they had to put in thousands and thousands of hours and practice and playing and doing whatever it is. Then we come to church and then we come to our spiritual walk with God and we expect God to just come in and swipe his hand like a magic wand and fix everything. And if he doesn't fix everything, then we are going to be mad at God.
Yeah.
Why didn't God do that? Well, the truth is God already did it.
Yeah.
It is available. But you didn't do your part. You're just trying to condemn me. I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm trying to teach you.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to help you see the reality of what God has given us and what he tells us to do in his word. All right. Back to Romans chapter 12. Are you still with me? You haven't bailed the building? Left the building? Elvis has left the building. I talk direct to people. And some Christians are so immature and so lazy that then they get mad at me because I'm trying to help them. See, they're used to mamby-pamby, easy-beasy preachers that cater to their emotions and their flesh and never correct them and never hold their feet to the fire. And that's the reason why you're spiritually... you are not strong and your faith is not strong. Then I come along and I start talking direct to you and you start crying and running for the exit. If you want to go back to who you've been listening to, then you're going to keep getting what you've had. If you'll stay here and let me teach you some things about faith, even though it might not be easy, you'll start to grow if you all apply it.
Yep.
Trying to help you. All right. Romans chapter 12 and back to verse 3. Ah, this is good stuff. All right. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, I want to focus in on a different aspect of this verse now. It says, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought. Now, what is he talking about? Think of yourself more highly. Is he talking about socially? Is he talking about, status? No. This think more highly thing is to tell yourself that what he's talking about is that when you tell yourself that your measure of faith is greater than it actually is. That's where the problem is. What does he say? He says, but to think soberly. Now, what does that mean? That means identifying realistically what your measure or level of faith is. And don't try to go beyond it and have a mess and have a crash and have what you call a failure. See, you can take medicine in fear and you can take medicine in faith. Most people I've found are taking medicine in fear.
Yeah.
But then once in a while I find somebody who's learning to walk by faith and they are stretching themselves and they understand I need to get skillful in this area of faith. And so they are applying it, they are working it, but they understand that their measure of faith, their level of faith is not up here yet. It's here.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take the medicine to help me. But I'm still going to keep doing what I need to do to grow my faith. I'm still going to keep doing what I need to do to exercise my faith to make it stronger. My reliance is not on the medicine. I am using the medicine to deal with the symptoms. But my faith is in God. My trust is in God. See, very important. Because how do you please God? By faith. Well, someone says, well, I feel guilty if I'm supposed to walk by faith and then I take medicine. Well, go with me over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1. Look what it says here. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let me read this in the Amplified. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no adjudging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. See, if you are walking according to what God says and His Word says. Now, can you show me the verse that says, if you're going to walk by faith, thou shalt not take medicine? No, that verse isn't in there. Nowhere. So, taking medicine or not taking medicine is not necessarily either faith or not faith. Alrighty. It's what are you doing in your heart and in your mouth? Faith is not an absence of doing something. Faith is not necessarily a presence of doing something. Yeah. Well, I'm doing this. See, I've seen people that said they were walking by faith, but there was no faith there. They were in fear. They were flat in fear. Yeah. Now, it says, no condemnation. Now, a lot of people like to quote this verse. There's no condemnation. You're condemning me. Well, if you're walking after the Spirit, you can't be condemned. So if you feel you're being condemned, you must be walking after the flesh.
Oh, woo. That's good.
I didn't write it. I just read it. Sometimes people get mad at me when I share what the Word says. I'm not the author. I'm just the teacher. Okay. Now, Galatians chapter 5, let's go there. Galatians 5 and verse 25. Oh, praise God. Galatians 5, and we're going down to verse 25. And I'm going to read it in the Amplified. All right, here we go. If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit. Your conduct controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit will always counsel you according to your measure of faith, not according to someone else's measure of faith.
Oh, wow.
So, if the Holy Spirit says, take the medicine and stand on the Word, then that's what you do. Amen. You're walking in the Spirit. You're obeying the dictates, the directions, the instructions, the counsel of the Spirit of God. Because The Holy Spirit is never going to counsel you based on somebody else's faith.
That is so good. Amen.
See, the Holy Spirit didn't tell other people to do what the centurion did. Because the other people didn't have that level of faith. The Syrophoenician woman that came to Jesus, she didn't have the level of faith as the centurion did, because if she did, she'd have said, just speak the word. You notice how many people said, just speak the word? Wasn't very many, was there? Why? Because they weren't at that level of faith. But there was other people that got healed. There was other people used their faith. But they were on different levels. All right.
Good.
Now, this is why you can't take where you are at in faith and tell somebody else what to do.
Amen.
Because their measure is probably different than yours. Whether a lower level or a higher level. This is why it's not good for you to try to give counsel to other believers.
Amen.
And in fact, in the word, there is no instruction and there's no permission for you to give counsel to other believers.
Oh.
You can encourage them, you can exhort them, you can bless them.
Oh.
But counsel needs to come from their pastor, from their leaders.
Amen.
Who God will show and God will instruct based on their level of faith. I don't tell everybody to do the same thing.
Whoa.
I tell everybody the same principles.
Yes.
But I don't tell everybody to do the same thing. Because everybody is at different levels.
Amen.
And if I give you the counsel that I gave to this person over here, you might be frustrated.
All right.
And not be able to do it.
Right.
Because you're not at their level. Ah, this is good. This is good. This is good. Well, you should be doing this. Wrong. Because you're basing that on where you are at.
That is right.
And I see this happen all the time.
Yes.
You cannot counsel someone as to what to do unless you know what their measure of faith is. And that is not your job unless you are their pastor.
Right. Amen.
See, where someone else's level of faith is not your business. Now,
amen.
If you come to Word of Life and I am your pastor, it is my business. Because
yes, it
it's my business to train you.
Amen.
It's my business to challenge you. But I don't give everyone the same challenge.
Of course.
Just like in a family, you have children of different ages and they get different challenges or training or jobs or responsibility based on their level.
Amen.
Parents are training them and teaching them and instructing them, but you don't give an 8-year-old the same responsibility and expectation that you give to a 16-year-old. And if you do, you're in trouble. And then it's wrong for someone outside the family to come in and tell the kids what to do. They don't know them.
Yeah.
And it's wrong for one child to tell the other child.
That is true.
You know, how many times did I hear when one of my children got to go somewhere, got to do something,
yeah.
And one of the other ones, usually a younger one, would say, how come I can't go? How come she gets to go?
No.
And you know what? I didn't always have the time to explain, you're at different levels. Because most of the time, people are judging others based on the level they are at. And that is not wise. What did Paul say by the Holy Ghost? If you compare yourselves amongst yourselves and by yourselves, he said, you are not wise.
Well,
they don't have to do that. Maybe they already conquered that. Maybe they have grown past that level. You don't know what they had to do. You don't know what they did. But if you're just looking on the surface, go, well, they don't have to do it. You know, how many times I told one of the kids to do something, and what about Dari? What about Shauna? What about Dustin? Oh, yeah. And sometimes you get that in the church.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now. The Holy Spirit. Now, before I say this, how many times have I heard, and maybe you have said this, oh, I'm not where I should be. I haven't grown as much as I should. Come on now. I should be further along than I am. Yeah. The Holy Spirit will direct you based on where your faith is, not where it should have been. If you try to operate in the faith you should have had by now, and you don't have it, you will fail. Because you're trying to operate in something you don't have. Let's use money to help you understand how your measure of faith works. If you want to buy something for $10, you can probably just pull out the money and go buy it. Right?
Yes.
But if it is $10,000, now, it isn't that you can't buy it, but you may need to earn that money and save up that money until you have the $10,000. And then when you have the $10,000, you can pull out that money and buy that, whatever it is.
Yes.
If you didn't have the $10,000, you would not say, I am a financial failure. I can't buy something that costs $10,000. I'll never be able to do that. Wait a minute. No. No, you would say, you know what? I'm going to go get me some more money. I'm going to work. I'm going to sell some stuff. I'm going to have a garage sale. I'm going to sell this vehicle. I'm going to sell that tractor. I'm going to sell. I can sell this stuff. I'm going to put some stuff on Craigslist. I'm going to get the money so that I can do this. And you start working at it. And you start selling stuff. And you start saving and setting aside. And you start looking. Oh, well, I was going to do this, but I'd rather put that money aside because there's something bigger that I want.
Yep.
And you keep doing it. And you keep working and earning, investing, selling, doing whatever. And you do something positive to get you there. And if you keep going, you get to the place where your measure of money is more than enough for anything you need or you want. There have been so many who started with very, very little money. But they work diligently, and eventually over a period of years, they get out of debt, they start to invest, they start to build, and they end up with abundance, and they can pay cash for whatever they need or they want.
That's right.
This is what you're to do with your measure of faith.
Wow.
Be diligent and work it, feed it, exercise it. It will grow until the measure that you have is greater than the need or the problem that you face.
Oh, that's good.
This is where we are headed with our faith. When you see a need that is larger than your measure of faith, don't say, I don't have enough. I'm a failure. I can't do this. No. Say, I know what I need to do to accumulate, develop, and build my faith. And I'm going to get back at it, and I'm going to get there.
Yeah.
I am going to arrive in that place. And you will if you keep applying yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is good stuff. But the problem is, we are out of time once again. So I'm challenging you. Now, you might be saying, I can hear someone say, but how do I develop it? How do I? This is what we've been talking about for the last 2 years on the School of Faith. This is why I challenge you. I can't give you everything in one night. And if you're asking that question, you need to go back and start listening to the first season of the School of Faith, because we lay it out in detail. Amen?
Yes.
Well, we're out of time for tonight. Praise God. I'm glad you've been with us. And I believe that the word is working mightily in you. And my challenge is to you, walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by the word and not by your senses. We'll see you next Friday right here on the School of Faith.
We are out of time, but I recommend that you go back and listen to this session over and over until it comes alive on the inside of your heart. Then begin to walk it out in your life. Remember that 1 John 5:4 tells us that we can have victory over the situations of life, and it's going to be by using our faith. This is Apostle Paul DeYoung saying I'll see you in our next session of the School of Faith.